Hey, everybody. We just finished episode number 4. We just wrapped it up with Rachel Taylor from @RachelBuilds on Instagram. She is a carpenter, remodeler, designer, and now TV host of the new HGTV series that's premiering September 8th, 2021 at 8 p.m. The name of it is called Curb Appeal Extreme. But more so in this podcast, she really shares so much great advice for everybody out there in the trade. So, hey, please tune in. Tell us what you think.
Hey, everybody. I want to introduce you to Rachel Taylor from Rachel Builds.
Yes. Hello. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, we're so stoked to have you with us. God, I think I've been following you, Rachel, on Instagram for about 4 years, and we've been messaging back and forth. I just admire what you have accomplished.
I'm so thrilled about that. And I have to tell you, it's been hard work. And I know that you did the same path many, many moons ago.
Yeah, for sure.
And I followed you because I knew that, honestly, this is not a plug. I am not being paid to say this. I had a friend tell me that Festool was the best product and that it would help me with my journey because I was self-taught and I needed a little help. So following you taught me a lot about where I am today.
Thanks. I'm flattered. Yeah. Hey, look, I'm blushing. You can see it right here.
That's okay. I have a huge forehead. You can see it right here, too.
Mine goes from here all the way.
When you salute, do you do this? Yes, sir.
Woo! Hey, I want to introduce you a little bit more, okay? You're a carpenter, furniture builder, remodeler.
Yes.
And the new one that I am really excited about, because I know how hard you've been working for this, you are a TV host on the new HGTV TV series, Extreme Curb Appeal Extreme, right?
Yes, that's right.
And it premieres September 8th, correct?
That's correct. 8 p.m.
8 p.m. Yeah. Man, I'm going to have to start watching TV again.
Same. I haven't watched TV for years.
I don't know. I just don't have time for TV. I'm so daggone busy, for sure. And I know you are as well.
And the thing, too, is these days, your TV show is buried in an app somewhere. You don't know how to get to it and who hosts it and all that. So, you know, when you get older like me, you kind of give up.
join the club. Okay. So I just introduced you, but how about you tell us a little bit about yourself, how you started to get into this trade, and how long you've been doing it, and how'd you get where you are right now?
So when I was born, I'm kidding, but kind of kidding. Yeah. My dad was a carpenter. And so it was always something that I was around. My dad also had many brothers, and they were all carpenters, builders, contractors, designers. A couple of my cousins became architects. None of the girls caught the carpentry bug, including me. But I did become a retail business startup expert, where I would design retail brick and mortar commercial spaces.
Oh, wow.
And that was after I owned my own retail store and built it out with a contractor. And I fell in love with not only just the commercial build out, but creating an intimate space that had a brand and a look and a decidedly distinct furniture design. Fell in love. Many, many moons later, I had a take this job and shove it moment because I was doing all marketing at that point, mostly in the hospitality industry. And I figured, you know, I have a little bit of savings. What can I do in my next step to make me feel like I was alive, to make me feel like something that I did and built myself that I could take ownership over? And then also thank myself. I don't really like compliments. And so getting that feedback from clients was never something I cared about. but it was also, it was just mind numbing to do marketing, and it was a thankless job. So I decided to do some renovations in my little bungalow, and I had a mild touch on power tools, but I was actually really scared of them.
Wow.
Friend of mine showed me how to use a few of them, some of the bigger ones. And I was instantly hooked. I recommended, hey, let's do something. Let's do build a product. I build businesses. You can help me with the tools. At that point, he owned all of the tools. I had none.
Wow.
And we went our separate ways for other reasons, but I kept going. And I just loved it. And I decided I was going to find a way to own my own tools. That's another story that is incredible, how I came across an entire shop of Festool brand new tools in a box when I was broke. I kept going.
Hey, I can't wait to hear that one.
That's a good one. You have to stick around to the end, folks.
That's called burying the lead.
Oh, yeah. So I kept going. And that was about 4 years ago, 2016. I toyed around with the idea that I'd become a full-time carpenter.
Wow.
2017, I built my first piece of furniture. It was a nightstand. You can actually see it on my Instagram page. It was about 8 million pieces. Funny enough, it was 8 million and, well, it was one piece less that I should have built, because the backside of that nightstand, there's no backside at all. The drawer is too big for the piece. So there's enough space to put a backside on it. So just don't turn my furniture around and look in the back. We live and we learn.
No, absolutely.
But, you know, again, you know, to bring myself all the way here to the present, I got a DM one day on Instagram because I started doing things in front of the camera instead of just showing my products. And I never really cared about being in front of the camera ever. And yep. I started getting a little bit more of a following, and someone found me on Instagram who was a casting director. And I actually first auditioned for Extreme Makeover Home Edition 2 years ago. I was the final cut, did not make it, heartbroken. I thought to myself, these days are over. And fast forward.
I remember your story on that. My heart went out to you.
Oh, broken.
Yeah.
That was a tough one to swallow because I felt like it was a fluke, which, you know, that teaches you a lesson. Whenever you think that something is just, you know, almost too good to be true, and then you lose that opportunity, keep going. Because I ended up on Curb Appeal Extreme, which is a spinoff of the original Curb Appeal that was on HGTV for years and years and years. With John Gidding, who is my lovely host on the show again, alongside Jamie Dury, who is a wild and zany Australian.
Yeah.
And together we put together six amazing episodes that are 1 hour long, full house renovations. I did everything from fencing and building furniture to doing pontoon platforms that double the steps as a new entry to a mid-century modern house. We built a playhouse for a pair of twins in the backyard that looked exactly like it was a carbon copy of the front of these people's home. Precious. You got to see that one.
I'm not talking myself,
but let me tell you something. It's not because it's a show. It's because I'm so proud that I took a journey from self-taught 4 years ago to building real homes in Nashville, Tennessee, on a television show with some incredible tradespeople. And that my new life now, I get to hang out in tank tops and a hat to hide my forehead. And I get to hang out with these amazing contractors and builders and developers and designers and architects. It's a dream come true.
That is so cool. I thought I had the dream come true coming to work for Festool.
Oh, no, you do. Just turn around and take a look.
I know.
Yeah.
I have to pinch myself every morning when I come in here.
Yeah. I picture you going into the shop and going, and smelling all the sustainers.
Have you been watching the cameras? No, I say this almost every time I train somebody or I talk to somebody about Festool. It's just not about the tools. It's just my family. I have a really good friend right next to me who runs Festool Live with our camera guys. And this is my family. And it's just everybody here is so stoked to work for this company. So enough about me. I guess I have other great questions for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm always interested when I'm watching one of these television shows, if I have the opportunity. I had the opportunity to work with some guys from This Old House.
Yes.
It's a lot of takes, isn't it?
It is, but you know, with something like this, it's a little less scripted and it's a little less project oriented. Any one particular day, I'm shooting in three locations for three different episodes. With eight different outfits.
Wow.
It's interesting how they all put it together. I say they lovingly because they is now me, but the producers really know what they're doing, and the production company that I work for to put this piece together is extraordinary. They just pump out incredible shows and incredible builds for incredible people who actually, you know, participate in the financial investment of the build out of their home. So they're very much involved in the design ideas and the decisions that go into the final product.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm kind of looking at my notes here, and I was going to say, so I'm really impressed at how you use social media, okay? I know how that's how you get started, and you got noticed by a production company, casting company, but it's really neat when I was watching how you were evolving on this new television series, and I think the stories are big, aren't they?
They're huge. One of the stories involves, and I can speak on this freely because it's a preview out for the show now airing on HGTV. Husband and wife were out of town when the huge tornado blew into Nashville a year and a half ago and took the roof off of their home while their kids, who were high school age, were in it. And they were not in town. That was heartbreaking to hear him retell the story. The father was just still emotional. You could see distraught. And when we arrived to the home, you could still see debris from a year ago that was in the tree above their family home. The befores are devastating. The before pictures are just unimaginable that a human being would actually live through that. And the story of the community coming together and pulling, you know, power tools out of nowhere and, you know, getting people out of their basements and cutting huge, you know, 5-foot radius trees out from in front of the front door so that the families could get out. Just, you know, families coming in and swooping in. All I heard was this power tool came out of nowhere and then the guy waved and left and I never saw him again. He saved my dog.
Wow.
Yeah. It makes me tear up just thinking about it. It was pretty epic.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. So in going through all of this journey that you've been going through, what have been your biggest struggles?
My biggest struggle was myself and the self-doubt. Knowing that I had, that's a tough one. Knowing that I had four kids, I was a single parent, sole provider, four kids in high school. Well, I had two that were college, yes, and then two at home in high school. But I was providing for all of them, and I quit my job. I was making a lot of money, and I decided that I was so unhappy that I could not stay there one more day. I couldn't stay there two more weeks for a notice. I just could not fathom it. I landed in the hospital because my stomach was so upset. It was a physical need to get out of it. And doing the renovations in my tiny bungalow that I'm still in now proved to me that I not only had enough of a drive to keep going, but I also had the ability to find what I needed to build what I wanted and to instantly make an income from it. I had no choice. I had to make money from this business. And that's terrifying. When I'm building something that I've never built before and I'm YouTubing everywhere I can to possibly get the information that I need, and putting it together with the kind of peace of mind that I needed in order to not make mistakes. It was difficult, but you know, I was able to luck up on, like I said, a shop full of Festool. I'll tell you the rest of that story later. You want it now?
I want to hear that.
Okay.
How'd you swing that deal?
Let me tell you, all of you guys need to stay for this story. It'll take me 3 minutes. I promise. I see one person dump out. There's 31 people here now. Oh, it's 28. All you 28 of you guys, you cannot believe this story. If you ever wanted Festool, this is how I did it. I went on to Facebook Marketplace, and I had precisely $0 to spend on this dream career that I wanted. And I just put in a search term Festool, and this guy was selling a Festool Capex. By the time I called him, it was gone. And I said, Hey, look, do you have any other pieces in your shop? He said, yes, they're all brand new. I decided that I wanted to do a business, but I decided against it because my girlfriend at the time decided she didn't want to do it anymore. My heart was broken. So I decided that I was going to put this stuff on for sale. I said, I don't have even enough money to buy your tape measure. That's a really good tape measure you guys sell. This thing is amazing. But I do have a business consulting background. I don't know if that fits in with anything that you were thinking for yourself. Are you interested? I get a DM back immediately. I'm interested. We talk about his product. He wanted to put a product on Amazon. I had the skill set to do it. He had $13,000 worth of Festool products, brand new, a domino joiner, an MFT3 table, all the clamps. I mean, this guy knew what he was doing. And 3 days later, after a barter agreement, we traded services and I picked up a brand new shop filled with Festool.
Wow. Wow.
And I was ready to start building 3 days later. And then I had no excuse. So all that time I thought, I'm never going to be able to do this and I'm never going to be able to have the right tools. And I'm a little bit OCD. I can't have a DeWalt here and a, you know, Milwaukee there. That wasn't in the question. That wasn't in the cards. It needed to be Festool. And I'm the type of person where if I make an investment in a car, an appliance, a trip, it's going to be the best because I don't want any problems. I don't know how to solve problems like that whenever they're out of my control. I can solve my own mess ups.
Yeah,
I can't solve equipment, and I still have my Carvex in the sustainer. Yep. I broke it a year and a half ago, and I still haven't sent it over to you guys. That's how bad I am with tools.
So oh my God!
I needed to start off with the best, and I have the best. And man, Bob's your uncle because I have done it the right way, and I am so grateful.
Okay, so I'm gonna call you out. One of my favorite. It's an early one.
Yes.
One of my favorite Instagram posts.
Yes.
When I started following you, you were sitting on a table and you were kissing your stack of sustainers.
Yes.
And I said, that is a kindred spirit of mine.
I thought I was the only
one who did that.
Oh my gosh. No, there are times, and I know one of your questions, I'm just going to go ahead and answer. What's my favorite tool?
Yeah.
There are times when I don't have my TS55 with me and it feels like I forgot my wallet at home. That's the one. That's my jam. That one thing. And let me tell you, it looks like I shot putted it in a competition a million times because it is just so dinged up and that thing turns on and it just sings to me every single time I need to use it. But that's the one that is always with me. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, guess what? I'm supposed to say, somebody say, what's your favorite Festool tool? And a lot of the guys here say, all of them, right? My favorite is the TS55.
Is it?
I get chills when I cut with it because if you've cut with any other thing out there, table saws, other circular saws, everything, the cross cut on plywood just drives me crazy. It's like a laser.
Well, let me tell you something. I used the same blade that it was sold with for 2 years. 2 years. Didn't matter if it was hardwoods that I was cross-cutting. It didn't matter if I was ripping a piece of 8-foot oak and destroying my blade. But let me tell you what happened when I finally put a fresh blade in there after two years.
Yeah.
Oh, Like butter.
Like butter.
Like butter. I didn't know what I was missing. Oh, and never again. I've got 5 backup blades. It's so worth it, because just getting that clean, I mean, especially when you do the miter rip, just a long, beautiful thing. Oh,
it's perfect.
It's perfection.
Okay, so we gotta stop talking about this.
I know, it's getting hot.
I know it's false, right, but whatever. Okay, so here's one for you. What advice would you give someone as you see your career now, if they're just getting started?
Well, I'd say this, man or woman, single or married, broke or, you know, got a 401k floating around. You can do whatever you want, but you got to figure out the what I want. And that's a tough question to answer sometimes, because, you know, if anyone said, what do you want to eat for breakfast? You got to think about it. But you know, if you're not in tune with your favorites, your passions, the things that really make you smile, the things that don't feel like work, if you're not in touch with that because you're stuck in a cubicle, or you're stuck with thankless work, or if you're stuck building and working and achieving for somebody else's company, it's really tough to stay close to the things that you love. And what I knew most was that watching my dad be able to wake up on a Saturday morning and go to the garage and get a thing. Back then, we didn't know it was called a power tool, and nobody talked to the kids. You know, the parents just got to it and started making something. And to see something appear by lunchtime that wasn't there before in your house, that's a pretty indelible impression. So it's two-sided why I did what I did. Not only did I want to build something, but I also wanted to show my children, my 2 boys and my 2 girls, that you can create and that you can fabricate. You can do it with your own hands. And you don't even need power tools for that. You can do that with hand tools and a little bit more skill building. But ultimately, more important, I would say I'd have to back up and say my most important power tool is my mind. Deciding that I want to do something is all I needed. Just the what. The how?
Yep.
You figure that out later. And you figure that out when you become hungry enough because you can't sleep at night, because you can't, you're almost mourning this thing that you might have to give up because you don't have the resources.
Yeah.
I wasn't willing to do that. And I was listening to an Audible book by a friend of mine that just came out with a book. He made a really great point. And that was, it was unforgivable for him to not be able to do the thing that he dreamt about. And he dreamt really big. But the reason why I was able to do that, to dream big, was because he is not risk averse. He was always able to jump in with both feet and answer this question, which is the most important question, which is, what do people need? And how can I serve something that doesn't yet exist? So as long as it was need-based and purpose-driven, he was able to pursue the rest of it, and the how just fall into place. It's really that simple.
Without risk, there's no reward.
Zero.
Yep.
And it's really tough to stick in this. It's tough to stay in something that's scary. And every single day I have to wake up. And if I have to build, I have to face the physical demands of building. I have to go into a workshop that, you know, if I was exhausted and had a big building yesterday, I'm walking into a disaster zone to start over again. Now, I'm usually really good now about cleaning up after myself after a long day, because, you know, it's too tough to wake up in the morning. It's either way too hot or way too cold in Los Angeles. That's miserable. And, you know, that sometimes I have a temperature controlled environment. Now I finally have my own shop, a little 500 square foot shop that is temperature controlled. Thank goodness. But, you know, a lot of people starting out don't have that. So you really need a good reason to get in there and get snapping, and it's tough.
I built in South Florida in my cabinet shop, and I can tell you right now, I wore Chuck E. T. high tops and shorts and a t-shirt, and I was sweat soaked sometimes from 5 a.m. till 8 at night. That's woodworking, cabinet building is a grind.
It is. And, you know, I remember being told that the very first thing that I need to learn how to build is a box. And I was like, I've got this.
Yeah.
It's you remember your very first drawer box?
Yeah. It's the process. Yeah. It's the process that people don't understand.
That's right. And I keep those projects around me too, by the way. In my shop, I keep all of my, you know, I would call it a word, but I'm not allowed to cuss here. That's a family show.
You're saving me on this, Rachel.
Yeah. I've got a birdhouse that looks like this.
Yeah.
I've got a drawer box that looks like this.
Yeah.
And it reminds me how far I've come.
Passion carries you through everything. And that is why I survived in that environment in South Florida, because I was passionate about building not only cabinets, kitchens, baths, but also a business. And that's another thing that people don't realize in woodworking, that you got to have some good business savvy. You're the marketer. You're the salesperson. Yes. You're selling yourself because you're the person behind that product. And I'm teaching you that, but you already know that stuff.
Well, I really want to speak on that. The fact that I was a business startup expert before I became a builder is really key. And folks, if you have to go, just listen to this nugget because it's such a good one. I would say that the expertise of running a business, running operations, running production, learning how to prioritize certain things throughout the day, learning time management, learning how to invoice, these are the magical tools. Those are the power tools. The things that you cut and assemble and, you know, do all of these things with out of a sustainer, those are just the icing on the cake. But honestly, coming from an executive background and being able to learn a new trade made me a viable income earner from the very beginning.
Yep.
So if it's anything that you do to start a business in the trades, the very first thing you want to do is get a time management tool. Time management is absolutely, it will help you with your production. It will help you with your productivity. And we kind of chuckle, and I can see the stuff going around in your head, Sedge, because time management is everything. If you have a deadline and if you've got something to deliver and someone's paying for it, you can hyper focus on one thing and redo it over and over again. For 8 hours, you can be on one. I can be on a drawer box for 8 hours.
Yeah.
At the very beginning.
Yeah. Paralysis from analysis.
That's right. Yep. Absolutely.
You have to live in it. This absolutely. Yep.
I heard a really great tip from Elizabeth Gilbert, who was the author of Eat, Pray, Love, and she said her process for writing is just to get it all down as fast as she can, like speed writing.
Yeah.
She sits down. Her process is to knock a book out in 3 to 4 months. So she'll sit and write and write and write and write and write. And she won't edit it, and she won't rewrite her notes, and she won't even take notes. It's just brain dump. And I adopted that recently with my builds. I sit down and I do a lot of planning in terms of my cut list, because that was a big no-no. I found that a lot of my production time was being spent by doing piece by piece. And I stopped doing that. I started using SketchUp and I started designing an entire piece. And even if I was too lazy to do SketchUp, I would just get it all down on a piece of paper. So at least I had something that if I built this again, I had something that could be repeatable. Templates and jigs, also a huge time saver. Creating spacers and blocks that I save and I label with a Sharpie and keep in my shop so that if I ever build that product again, I've got, you know, something that is repeatable and easy for me to grab so I don't overthink.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big deal. Tell you, I am a template fanatic.
Yeah.
Because if I'm building something and I know, hey, I kind of like that design I did. Mm-hmm. I'm templating it because I know somebody else might like it in the family. I only build family now, and I'm really happy with that.
Oh, I cannot wait. I say I'm a custom furniture designer and I love it, but I do know that transitioning into more of a commercial direction where I'm designing furniture and holding inventory is definitely going to be the next step. Custom is the antithesis of automation. And really, custom for me was a first step. into learning how to build, learning how to get down some really amazing joinery, tactical education and knowledge base. And now I'm ready to move into the next step when I, you know, in between TV shows.
That's awesome. Hey, so what do you see as your future growth? What are your expectations? I just heard future television shows. You got anybody knock it?
Well, you know, the hope is the season two for Curb Appeal Extreme. We'll know after the show airs. We've got six episodes. We've got 6 weeks to make it all happen. And we think we have a pretty great show. We are three totally different personalities. And it really shines. It looks like we've been brothers and like triplets for our whole lives.
Yeah.
And it's really
exciting. You can see that in your posts. You can see that in your posts. It seems like you guys got killer chemistry.
We do. We really do. We admire one another for many different reasons. And our relationship dynamic is completely different with one another. John and Jamie knew each other for 15 plus years. And I didn't know either one of them. And my brother and I have lovingly adopted John. He is now our brother. He has no brothers and sisters, but he does now. We have plans to travel together and we go up and down. Oh, and we're also going to do a Q&A after the show airs, the very first episode. I'll be in San Francisco with John and our families.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's all about relationships, creating relationships with people as well.
Yeah. And to answer your question fully, I hope to have more shows. I'm doing some small things with some smaller production companies as well. Some webisode type things. I just filmed something with the D'Amelio girls. I think I can say that. Yeah, I can say it. The D'Amelio sisters are on Instagram. They've got quite a huge following. And that was lovely because I felt like my platform really is about letting women know that they can find self-sufficiency and independence and financial stability in the trades. And so to show other young women what to do with a power tool, what to do with a hand tool, and to get them started to, you know, just sometimes it's just putting it in their hands and letting them feel the autonomy that comes from directing this thing that can do something for you and that you could use to build with your hands is amazing. Yeah. I have a lot of families with kids and I make sure that I put my drill, my driver into their hands and let them feel it and do it by themselves. And the wonder on their face is just like, oh, I can do this. I have a picture on my Instagram sitting next to a client's daughter. Her name is Molly. And she's sitting at a pink tutu. Oh, it's going to make me cry just thinking about it. And when I left, you know, she was sitting in her tutu and I had her hold my driver and I had her just drive a little screw into something and just big blue eyes. And when she left, her mom DM'd me and said she was carrying the board around her house all day and saying, look, I'm a builder just like Rachel.
Oh, that got you. That got you. That's awesome.
That's amazing.
It is. It really is. You saw the light bulb.
I did. And it's not too long ago that that same light bulb turned on in my own head and my heart. So it's very near and dear when I can see, when I can get to kids when they're so young and teach them that, you know, you can build anything you want. You don't have to, you know, harp on it. I think one of the biggest heartbreaks as you get older is to have something on your mind that you want so badly and there's nothing that you can do to get it. That's heartbreaking. And, you know, it's not about money. Sometimes it's just about your environment or the people around you. And I always had this feeling that I was capable of doing whatever it was that I put enough energy into. And I'm one of those people that jumps into something with both feet. And it's not risky to me because I know that I'm capable of fulfilling the need that it takes to get the job done. I am a person that doesn't quit. I mean, raise four kids by yourself. That's
holy moly.
That's a brave person.
Oh my God. And you left your career.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's an amazing story.
And I have to quote another another thing from my friend who just on Audible, he has a book called Streets, Rhymes and Sugar. And he talks about his journey, and he was always really upset towards his mother because she was a 14-year-old teen mom who had to raise Michael on her own. And this is what the book was all about. It's a memoir about this. And he said at the very end that as much as he was upset with his mom, he finally realized that it was because of all of the adversity and the things that she taught him that he could do that made him into the resilient person that wrote movie screenplays that got made and starting, you know, record label or not record labels, but working at them and starting one of the first hip hop magazines in New York City back when hip hop was first getting started. It was the thing that made him who he is today. All of that adversity.
What's the name of that book?
It's called Streets, Rhymes and Sugar by Michael Elliott.
Wow. On Audible. Very cool.
Yeah.
And you know what's really cool about this podcast?
Yeah.
Is I can go back and remember that and replay it. So I remember it.
I just binged it. It just came out last week. So I finally had a minute to think, to listen to it. And I binged it last night until 2:30 AM. It's a 2.5 hour listen on Audible. And it was life-changing. He walks through everything that he went through as a journey, as a kid in foster care, as a ward of the state, and then homelessness once he became 18. Mm. And then every single journey, every single come up, every single major win came with a price at the end of it. Yep. But every single price tag became the down payment on the next journey upwards. Today, he's writing two movies again.
Amazing. I always got a kick out of when people used to, I'm going to bring it back to me really quick.
Please do.
You're really lucky with some of the things that have happened to you. And I kind of chuckle inside. I don't retaliate or anything like that. Sure. I just have no idea my background. And you don't know what I went through and the dues I had to pay with my family. And what they allowed me to do and stuff like that. So I always think, and I'm going to, this is one of my favorite things. Luck is when opportunity and experience meet at the same time. And I'll tell you what happened. That's what happened when I came to work at Festool. A lot of people say, hey, you're lucky to have this job, but I the opportunity arose and I was prepared for it. Boy, was I prepared for this.
That's right. That's right. And I had the same relationship with the word, you deserve this. I hear that a lot lately.
Yeah.
And I think to people to say, you know, deserve is a funny word that I can't connect to because the day before I auditioned for the show that I got, my mother had passed away.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. If there was ever a feeling where this is not the right moment and I am not ready for the biggest opportunity yet, that was it. Sitting on the stairs of my mother's home, who had just passed away from 2 weeks of fighting for her life in the hospital from metastatic breast cancer at 72. Goodness. And I had no clothes. I had the flip-flops on my feet. I was supposed to do a Zoom for this opportunity that I knew was coming up and that I thought I could reschedule. And, you know, thank God they didn't make me reschedule because in that moment I had to find every bit of authenticity. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm so unprepared that I need to let them know that I can't turn on this happy energy because I'm not happy. And I didn't want to look like a crazy person who had just lost her mother. Yeah. Who is pretending to be this happy person. It's just, I'm a terrible liar. So that's not going to work.
I don't have a poker face.
Yeah. And so what that experience taught me is that as unprepared as I was, the reality is that I was unprepared to fake it.
Yeah.
I was completely prepared to knock it out of the park with just me.
Yep.
I'll never forget that experience. And the screen test was with my co-host, John Gidding, who is just an angel that walks amongst us on the earth. Wow. And he validated this very real place that I had to come from, especially as a newcomer. I've never done a TV show before, ever. And, you know, I barely knew how to get a Zoom online.
What a good dude.
Yeah, a really great dude. And he validated that exactly what I was doing in exactly the right moment was precisely what they were looking for, that authenticity. So the lesson there is you're always prepared as long as you believe that you have everything that it takes and that you remember that the pain and the suffering and the aggravation that it took to get there, all those ugly parts that you're not proud of, is precisely the reason why you're going to win the bag.
Too cool. So the pandemic of this last 2020 and now into 2021, how's that affecting you?
Is it 2021?
Yeah, I know. I just looked. I looked at the schedule, Rachel, and it's August 25th.
Yeah, I feel like I was in a
scheduling 20. People are asking for us to do stuff for 2022. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah. So pandemic was an interesting thing because when I first started, I was working from home in my little garage and I had a mask on all day long. Yeah. So, you know, everybody else did differently. It was just like a Tuesday for me. God bless all of the people that lost their lives. And fortunately, COVID did not touch down on us in that way. My two children at college immediately caught COVID. One was a little scary. Yeah. They are both athletes at the College of Southern Idaho. And their teams all caught COVID. It was like wildfire.
Where do they play?
So I have a 7-foot-tall son.
What?
He plays ball. Basketball. His first love is volleyball, though. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And fun fact, my ex-husband is also 7 feet. He played in the NBA for 15 years. His name is Olden Polonese.
So wow. He
played for the Clippers, and we were in the Seattle Supersonics, the Utah Jazz. He played for the Detroit Pistons. I'm forgetting a team. Yeah. Yeah.
I know that name.
Yeah.
I know that name.
Center. Yep. So wow. I used to be an NBA wife. Go figure. Let me tell you, NBA wives are some hardworking women. We all are business owners. We all are doing amazing things supporting. I used to support my ex-husband. I don't do that anymore. But, you know, the children and being a business owner, it's a really lofty ask of someone. And a lot of us rise to the occasion.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So one son plays basketball.
Gabriella is my daughter. She plays volleyball. She's 6'1".
Wow.
She's tiny.
What?
She's the tiniest one in our family other than me. I'm 5'10", and my kids tower over me.
That is so cool, though.
Yeah.
You're a proud mom. I am.
Yeah. And then the other two are, my son is the oldest. He's 6'7". That's Nico. And Alexis is my second or my first daughter. And she's 6'2".
Wow.
Yeah.
I think I'm 5'1".
Yeah. If you were playing volleyball with us, you'd have to be our libero. That's the little guy in the back.
That is so cool.
Yeah. Very cool. And all the kids have at one point or another been supportive of my business. They've helped paint. They've helped deliver. They've helped lift. They've helped move.
That's awesome.
Very grateful for them. Yeah.
That's awesome. Too cool.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at my questions here. Don't bear with
me. It's all good.
I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I might have a couple of, you already told me what your favorite festival tool is.
Yes.
Okay, same as mine. Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite Festool accessory?
I would say the MFT3 table.
Yeah.
That thing is amazing. I mean, to clamp, to sand, to cross cut. I don't know what the thing's called that's in the back, the fence with the gauge.
Yep, the protractor head, the angle unit. Yeah, we call it the angle.
Yeah. Amazing. There's some things I'd change about it.
Really? Like what?
I feel like having putting a piece of waste against the fence is great so that I can cut as far into everything when I'm using the track as a 90 degree, as a cross cut. Uh-huh. I've since been gifted by my sugar daddy with a Capex. You guys being the sugar daddy. And so no more cross cuts on the MFT3. But while, you know, those back in the day, while I was slumming it, I would definitely cut through the back of the fence. But that's just an experience.
You? I've done it.
You?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got to be careful here at Festool because I get these wonderful colleagues that move things on me. Yeah. When I'm out of the room.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You always gotta remember to check the depth of your saw when you're here at Festool. Because I've cut so many things in half. It's ridiculous.
Let me tell you, my MFT3 top, you know, I had all the great plans of just always having a piece of waste wood underneath. Now, that thing looks like Freddy Krueger got to it.
Yeah.
And then I get super cheap and I take the screws out and I flip it.
Oh, yeah. I do it all the time.
Yeah, but mine is so bad on the underneath that it bows. So it cups my wood. So my track saw bogs down because it catches it. Yeah, I'll be placing an order a little bit later today.
No worries. Okay, so this is the question I always ask at the end. It's a Festool question.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Do you have anything for us? Is there a question I didn't ask that I should have asked?
I don't know. Will I ever stop being a woodworker? No. Will I ever not be a carpenter? No.
How about this?
Yes.
Because I know the answer because you alluded to this earlier. Uh-huh. Who has been your biggest influence in your life to guide you? I like that question because I've been answered that. I've been asked that a lot in my life because people say, why are you so happy? Why are you so positive? And it's because of my two most positive influences in my life. And that's been my parents. They're my best friends or were.
Okay. All right. That's a gift.
Yeah. For sure.
At first, I thought the question was more about business influence. And I'm glad that you gave me your example because the first person that came to mind was my grandmother. So my grandma and I, when I meet people who knew their grandparents well, mm-hmm. it's a different type of a person.
Yes.
When you have grandparents that take you camping and fishing and traveling, when you have grandparents that take you to the train yard to ride the trains, and to the zoo and you're the only grandchild for 8 years, a lot happens to you. And I was imprinted by this relationship. They were married for 56 years in Sacramento, California. And I was fortunate enough because my ex-husband at the time, he was my husband, he was playing for the Sacramento Kings. And so I was able to live in the city that my grandparents had lived in for 50 years in the last 4 years of their life. And it reminded me why I am the way I am. It's one thing to have, you know, childhood experiences. It's another thing to circle back and really spend some time with your grandparents as an adult. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother was in, you know, the delivery room for all four of my children being born. They came and visited me when my firstborn was born 2 months early. And I sat in a hospital for 2 months before that, growing a baby. Mm-hmm. And they came every single day and visited me, and it reminded me why I am the way I am. And that mm-hmm. is a person who is very concerned. I have an anxiety level that's sometimes unhealthy, but I never question myself like other people do. I might be unmotivated. I might be a little, unsure of myself, a lot unsure of myself, but when it comes to actually getting going, I never questioned myself. And that's something that comes from my grandparents. I never witnessed an argument. I never witnessed dissension or silent treatments between them. Mm-hmm. I never witnessed them being apart. The biggest period of time that we were ever apart was when my grandma and I would go to church. And my grandfather's boundary was he didn't want to go to church. It's okay. He believed in God. Yeah. Fine. Go to church, ladies. But I have this picture in my mind of him standing in the doorway behind the screen door as we pull up from church. He was always standing there. So, you know, back in the day, you know, there was no cell phones, but he knew the timing. Yeah. And we'd come back home and he'd fix us some lunch. And it was just a routine of happiness and of letting one another be who they are. My grandfather would take walks every single day. It was the only other time that they were apart. You come back 20 minutes later, she was not interested in taking a walk. And that's where my love for an evening walk came from. All of the good things that are me come from those two people.
Yes, same with me. And okay, so I'm going to take this another step.
Yeah.
In business, who has been your biggest influence?
That's a tough question to answer because I've always done it myself.
Yep.
I remember being 12 years old, driving up Solano Avenue in Albany, California, where I was born and raised, and looking at all of the stores. It was basically like an expensive main street in our city. Looking to the left, looking to the right, lots of small shops. And I remember thinking at 12, who gives you permission to own that? Like, how do you do that? Where do you get the building? Where do you get the merchandise inside? How do you do that? And I became a business consultant because that question never left me. So I can't say that I really had an inspiration because back in, you know, I was born in 71. I turned 50 this year. Woo! And so back in, you know, when I was 12, what is that? 82. And, you know, there was no internet. There was no influencers. There was no, you know, there was just not even this old house.
It seems to me that you have this innate curiosity.
Yes, I do.
You want to know why. Yes. And I personally have had that too. There's a lot of times I'm self-motivated. I was just blessed. You brought back when you were talking about your grandparents. My sister has pictures of me working in my grandfather's shop when I was 7 years old, working with hand planes. He was a huge influence for me. But I was also blessed in South Florida. I learned from a fantastic guy named Ralph. People have just come into my life and just, I don't know how it's happened, but sometimes I believe in fate like that. People get together for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. But I'll tell you how it happened. You showed up.
Showed up.
Showed up.
Yep.
You showed up. You were there. You were watching. Yep. You were interested.
Yep.
You would be surprised at how many people who are big influencers or really successful in their careers, how important it is to them that you show up and look in on their thing with interest.
Yes.
They will take you under their wing and they will show you how. You and I did it.
Yep.
I didn't know what to do. Yep. I didn't know how to do it. That domino sat in my garage for a year before I touched it because there were so many different adjustments in order to make it work. And you know, once I figured that out and asked you a couple of questions that you know, I was so afraid to direct message you. I'm like, oh, he's too busy. He's too busy. It's Edge.
No, yeah. I'm never too busy to help. That's my whole life. I love helping people.
Quick sidebar. I so didn't know who you were at the very beginning that I thought your handle, like if you said it out loud, that it was Festool's Edge.
Everybody, a lot of people think that. They go, I've been following this guy for years.
Yeah.
His name is Edge.
Yeah. I mean, just went right over my head.
It's good.
Yeah, just showing up and asking the questions and asking the dumb questions. Because there's no dumb question. Dumb question just means I'm interested in knowing how to do something that I don't know how to do, and I'm humble enough to ask. Showed up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my God. I'm sorry. I just looked at the clock. I thought we were only in this on 15 minutes, right? My God. Oh, I've taken all your time.
What are you talking about?
I already know the answer.
Yes.
Okay. You ready?
Yes.
If you could only have one festival, what would it be?
That hurts my heart. Oh. If I could only have one, am I stuck on a deserted island or something? What's happening here?
No, what just happens? Say if a tsunami hit, whatever.
Okay, well, if a tsunami hit, then I can't have power. It would have to be my driver, my impact.
There you
driver.
Go. Cool.
It would have to be. Yeah. It travels. I can, you know, if it's sinking and I can grab it and tuck it and swim.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. You are such a hoot. Oh. Well, I think, do you have anything for us? Anything else you want to? Oh, why don't you give us a little plug for that new show coming out?
Oh, so I am so excited to share with you 6 episodes of Curb Appeal Extreme coming to you on HGTV and also streaming on Discovery Plus.
Ooh, gotta know that. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So once the episode airs, then it's also going to be hosted and streaming forever. That's a really long time. That's on Discovery cool. Plus. And that is good. The first episode is airing September 8th at 8 p.m. I believe it's 8 p.m. in all markets. That's what I think the way that it's going. So it's not 8 p.m. and, you know, 11 p.m. somewhere else. 8 p.m. It's an hour long, and we are doing whole house renovations on 6 properties in Nashville, Tennessee. We're doing the front yard, the backyard, and the entire fascia of the house all the way around. You will not want to miss it. You learn so much about horticulture and botany and native plants and all kinds of materials, all kinds of paints and stains and just great ways to improve your home and do it yourself.
And great power tools.
Yes, I carried my entire kit with me. My Festool kit went everywhere I went for all 6 episodes.
Way cool. Yeah. Way cool. Rachel, I want to thank you so much for giving us your time. We really appreciate it. And good luck to you. We're going to have you back, I hope.
Of course.
And maybe we do a Festool shop talk out in
Absolutely.
LA.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You are welcome to come to my shop anytime. The only reason I didn't do it in the shop today is we have some plumbing issues.
Oh, no.
So the plumber's there. I didn't mess it up. My son messed it up.
Too cool.
I'll see you All soon, right. Sedge. Thank you so much. And
we love you.
Thank you so much. I love you, too.
We love you.
I love you, too. I love you.